This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Taking his case on the road.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. President Obama today is off to a town hit hard by the economic fallout. He'll be there trying to rally support for his massive stimulus plan, which has been languishing of late in the U.S. Senate. A vote there is expected soon. And Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson joins us now to talk about this trip. Jeremy, where's everyone headed today?
Well, Steve, they're going to Elkhart, Indiana, the Washington of the West, at least for today. The president is going there to sell his stimulus plan directly to the American people. A little bit about Elkhart. It has a much higher unemployment rate than the rest of the U.S. The mayor there saying it could be as high as 20%. The president's going to arrive there for a town hall meeting at noon. The tickets, I'm told, sold out in about an hour on Saturday. Tomorrow, the president is going to Fort Myers, Florida, which is one of the home foreclosure capitals of the country. And, of course, all of this is to build support and show those politicians in Washington what he's able to do with his bully pulpit in terms of getting this stimulus passed.
So we have stimulus package before the Senate, of course. Where does it stand right now there?
Well, there's going to be a key vote on the Senate version tonight. Now, that Senate version is pretty close at this point to the House version, about $827 billion. And it looks like, with three Republicans signing on, that it will be able to pass the Senate, the key vote this afternoon, and then the final vote on the Senate package tomorrow.
Jeremy, if I'm not mistaken, we were supposed to hear about the bank bailout, the second half of those TARP funds from Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner. What happened with all of that?
Well, it's difficult to focus on more than one multi-hundred billion dollar plan at one time, and so that has been delayed so that the focus can remain on the stimulus package. That announcement by Mr. Geithner has been put off until tomorrow. The word is that there will be more capital injections into banks and no final word on the idea of that bad bank that would take on the troubled assets, but we'll find out tomorrow at 11 o'clock.
Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson joining us from New York. Jeremy, thanks.
Thank you, Steve.
Investors not so happy with all the delays. Markets here stateside down. The Dow down about 0.5% so far this morning. The Nasdaq about 0.33%. Today in London, the FTSE's up. Barclays Bank reported a smaller than expected drop in profits. That's boosting numbers there just a bit, up slightly. Frankfurt and Paris up slightly as well. Hong Kong shares closed up. The Nikkei finished lower. Nissan will likely end its fiscal year in the red, the first time in nearly a decade. It's also cutting 20,000 jobs. One of its biggest plants is in Britain, which has already felt some pain. From London, here's Stephen Beard.
Nissan's chief executive did not mince words. He said the global auto industry is in turmoil, and Nissan is no exception. Last month, the company's sales fell by a third in the U.S., its biggest market. Nissan is likely to lose almost $3 billion in the current financial year. Most of the major car makers have laid off workers, but Nissan's cut of more than 8% of its workforce is among the deepest so far. Ian King of the London Times.
Nissan has a huge exposure to what you might call high-cost regions, such as Japan, the USA and Europe. And indeed, those regions look like they're going to probably bear the brunt of these reductions.
Nissan has yet to say which of its factories will be the worst affected. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thriving Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thriving.com/new offers. And by the Medtronic Foundation, supporting Women Heart and its efforts to address the number one killer of women in the United States, heart disease. MedtronicFoundation.org.
There are quite a few federal investigations that show where the government's concerned, the little guy just can't seem to catch a break. Federal money earmarked for small business seems to wind its way to big business instead. To fix that, those little guys are looking for some changes, Ronnie Radbill reports.
Small business advocates say the government's giant bailout does nothing to address contracting fraud and abuse. The government is legally required to award 23% of its contracts to small companies. Those are defined as independently owned and operated firms with up to 500 employees. Lloyd Chapman is president of the American Small Business League. He says instead, most of the business goes to the big guys.
You can imagine what happens when you pull $100 billion a year out of the middle class economy, where all the jobs are created, where most Americans work, and divert that money to Fortune 500 corporations that are shipping jobs overseas.
In one investigation, the Interior Department's Inspector General discovered small business contracts were finding their way to companies like Xerox, Dell, and Lockheed. In other cases, big corporations bought small firms and then kept their contracts. Dan Fahey owns a small IT consulting company in Rockville, Maryland.
He who has the power has the ability to get it. And what happens is that it's one of those things that's hard to prove, but you see it happening in front of you, and there's nothing you can do about it.
The corporations say they never intentionally diverted work from small companies. The U.S. Small Business Administration is responsible for the accuracy of the contracts. A spokeswoman there says sometimes errors in contracts are overlooked, but she says the agency is fixing the problem. Congressman Lynn Westmoreland is a small businessman from Georgia. He sits on the House Small Business Committee. Westmoreland says Congress needs to take a closer look at how the government prepares its contracts.
Sometimes they put together a contract that's so large that a small business can't do it.
He says SBA oversight, together with loosening up tight credit, are critical to small businesses.
I've got small businesses that are going bankrupt every day. Until we get the credit down to those small business guys and somebody's hometown, I don't think the economy's going to ever straighten out.
Small business owners echo that sentiment. They caution if it's business as usual in Washington, more jobs will be lost and small companies will continue to fail. In Washington, I'm Ronnie Radbill for Marketplace.
Once again, stocks have started off the day lower. You can share your thoughts with us. Check our podcast online. And starting today, catch our new online host and blogger, Scott Jagow, inside Marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Have a great Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.